I don't get the chance to do this kind of thing very often. I'm used to speaking, obviously, in a classroom where the kids have to listen to me. They're forced to, and if they don't, I can beat them senseless. So it's a little bit different. So if you nod off and I suddenly hand you detention, that's why, and I apologize in advance. My name is Steve Kozak. I teach at Oakland Christian. I am a 9th and 10th grade teacher. I also teach economics and government to the seniors. So I get to battle their senioritis as well. I'm a graduate of Michigan State University. And last I heard, we beat Texas last night at the Palace. So, and Michigan lost again. So we're happy with that. And as Spartan fans, we all know that as basketball season comes and football season goes, we can get back in the mood to brag a little bit more, and we get a little happier and things get a little bit better. So, and I'm also currently finishing up my seminary degree at Michigan Theological. So that's a lot of fun. I got about a year left, and this is actually my first year teaching. So I think the greatest gift out of all Christmas I could ever have is the fact that this is the first year in a long, long time that I have 2 whole weeks off with nothing to do. So I'm enjoying it. So, but excuse me, Christmas is one of those strange times that we get excited and we get crazy and we want gifts and we ask our parents for stuff or family members for things, and we get to that moment, and we actually just had a family party last night and got to see the kids open some different things, and it was just reminded me, and I got to see the kids open the gifts, and my little nephew, who is all into Transformers, he opens up the gift that my wife and I gave him, and it was, we bought him Transformers, of course. And his eyes just got wide-eyed and crazy, and he was like, whoa, oh my gosh, I got it. And he was all excited. It was so cute and so wonderful, and her and I both looked at each other and just smiled. And you get that little half-teary-eyed thing going on. You're just happy that he's so excited. You no longer care that he says thank you. You no longer care about anything else, just the fact that he liked your gift. Because in some essence, I think in families, it's like a competition to see who likes your gift more and, you know, what kid likes your gift. And I'm sure all of you guys have that one gift that you're just waiting for to see if you get. And if you do, your Christmas will be just made to be perfect, right? Well, in a sense, I think sometimes the gift part, we lose sight of why we're here and why we celebrate Christmas. And the whole happy holidays thing, I think that takes away from the fact of really what the whole point of Christmas is. And it's unfortunate where we go to a store, we have to be wished happy holidays constantly instead of Merry Christmas, a Merry Christ festival, the festival of our Messiah, the birth of Jesus, and somebody that we just can't necessarily grasp, the ultimate gift. So what I want to look at today is a passage in Luke chapter 1. And if you have Bibles, you can turn there to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. And what's going on here is that Mary is finding out really what's going to happen. The angel Gabriel has come. He's already talked to Elizabeth, her cousin, that John the Baptist is going to be born. And that's happening. She's actually in her 6th month. When Gabriel comes to Nazareth and tells Mary that, hey, you're going to give birth to a son. But first I want to look at just kind of some intro stuff. I just want to paint the picture for you, if I can, just of what's going on and kind of what Nazareth is about and what's going on. So just the first couple of verses. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So Gabriel goes to Nazareth just to these two seemingly random individuals. We have no idea who these people are up until now. We don't really know what's going on with them. Mary's just a kid. Joseph's not much older than that. And they're in Nazareth. Now, if you know anything about Nazareth, it's this town that's set right between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea. It's this little passageway. It's a town of nobodies with nothing. In fact, they're looked down upon. Overall, this was like the worst of the worst, the neighborhood we all make fun of, the neighborhood that no one wants to live in. This is Nazareth, okay? Everyone makes fun of them. In fact, the people that get made fun of make fun of Nazareth, okay? So we can understand that they're in this no-name town. Mary and Joseph are pretty much no-name people. And Gabriel is about to give them this gift. And I don't necessarily mean the gift of Jesus. Yes, that's a gift. And all your parents can attest to this, that you guys being born were probably their greatest gift of all time. But that's not quite the gift I'm talking about. What I want to focus on today is actually the gift that God gives us is grace. And how that grace is shown through Mary. And more importantly, the response that Mary has to what Gabriel tells her. There's a response there that is so profound and so amazing that it can shape how we respond to the very same gift that God has given us. So we're going to look at this grace in light of the birth of our Savior. The reason we celebrate Christmas, the reason we celebrate this Christ festival, is the entrance of salvation through Christ. Okay, God's grace has always been there. But now we can have it, and everybody is available. So let's continue. In where are we? Verse 28, the virgin went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Well, of course she would be a little bit troubled. First of all, she's saying, Gabriel saying, "You who are highly favored." Can you imagine an angel coming from the Lord saying, "You are favored by God. You are favored by God. Any one of you is favored by God." The people who are greatly favored by God are people like Noah, where just before God wanted to destroy the entire earth, he decides that he's going to save Noah because Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was going to save his life, but destroy everybody else to save him and his family. That's to find favor in the Lord, where the Lord wants to bless you and give you life abundantly. And this is basically what Gabriel is saying to Mary. So Mary's a little bit troubled by this and wondered what kind of greeting this is. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So let me just pause here just for a second. Because Mary's finding out just what's going to happen. She's going to be with a child, and this child is going to be Son of the Most High. He is God incarnate. He's going to be the Son of God. Keep in mind, Mary is probably 14, 15, 16 years old. At that time, to be married at that age was extremely common. That's pretty much what they did. We're not really sure how old Joseph was. Some people think he might have been a little bit older. But they're betrothed to be married. They couldn't live together. They were thought of as married, but they really weren't married. They haven't completed the marriage process just yet. And here the angel says, "By the way, you're going to give birth to the Son of God." Now, I don't know. I thought about this for a few minutes. And I thought, what kind of news have I ever been given where I've just been so floored that I can't comprehend it? And I couldn't think of a thing. There's nothing that I've been told that I just can't comprehend. But can you imagine, especially some of you girls, can you imagine if someone told you that and how crazy, you're not even married, it just would be a crazy, crazy thought. There's no way I think any of us can comprehend that. But here's her response. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." It's not a response of, "I don't want to do it." It's not a response of, I'm not sure, maybe I shouldn't, you mean me, what are you talking about? It's just a simple question. She probably thought, well, yeah, once Joseph and I get married, yeah, that'll probably happen, that makes sense. But Jesus says, no, you've got it wrong. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." I'm going to stop there. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Because I'm going to focus on her response in just a second. But that first part of her response isn't at all like some of the major, major players in Old Testament or in biblical history. And the first person that comes to most of our minds is Moses. You guys all remember when Moses was confronted by God in the burning bush, Moses' reaction was one of, "Please, Lord, not me. Send anybody else you want. I might even help out. But anybody else you want, please just don't send me. In fact, even after God says, you know what, I'm going to have Aaron help you out. No, still, I don't want to do this. Okay? And all Moses was going to do was go speak to Pharaoh. Okay? And maybe if I can put a little bit more pressure on the situation, since Mary is not yet technically married, and the marriage process hasn't been complete, if she's found to be pregnant and isn't married to the person she's supposed to be married to, that's adultery. I mean, it's all of a sudden, you know, she's the virgin, all of a sudden she's pregnant, no one is really going to believe her, right? So she's pregnant. She would be an adulterer. And in that period of time, to be an adulterer was meant you very well could have been stoned to death. That was a long, long, drawn-out legal process to do so. But here, God is asking her to put her life on the line for Him, to bear His Son. So let me continue with her response. In verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left. "May it be to me as you have said." Her response isn't one of, "I don't want to do this." It isn't one of fear. It's one of absolute and total obedience. God gives us this huge, huge, huge gift. And the grace that He shows through Mary and what He can do through her by giving her the Son of God, by giving us salvation. He gives her the gift of a son. In that time, to receive a gift of a baby was huge, but to get a son was even bigger. That was huge. That's what all the women wanted, was a son to carry on the family name and to be great and to do whatever God had for them to do. But not only was this a son, it was a son that could cost her her life. And she responds in complete obedience. God has called Mary to a different life than I probably would ever imagine that she would have. You figure she's a young girl, she's about to be married. I'm sure many girls dream of their wedding day. I know my wife dreamed of her wedding day, and I think, at least I hope, that she got her dream wedding. But she had the whole thing planned in her head. And as any married guy knows, we just kind of, yes, absolutely, that's what you want, no problem. Because that's what every girl does. She has this image in her head of what her life is going to be like and how things are going to go. And God completely, completely disrupted that. God called her, and Mary faithfully answered. Mary's perfect humility and example of absolute obedience sets the perfect stage for the entrance of our Savior, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's by this grace that God has given her, this blessed life that God has bestowed upon Mary, even though her life was on the line, He called her to do something. He called her to be somebody. A no-name girl in a no-name town, she was called to be somebody. And I think in many ways God does that with all of us. Is that by this very grace, this gift of God, you figure this little baby that Mary had was her gift. In that gift is grace. But packaged up in that grace for all of us is life abundantly. Everlasting life. A life in total worship and service to an almighty God. And when we first convert and we first see the light and we first say, "Wow, I want to follow Jesus," we get excited. And then sometimes that kind of goes away. It's this grace that we are saved. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so that we may do them." God prepared for Mary that same kind of thing. That grace is what she was saved by. But just now we have Jesus to show for it. And by Jesus, His birth starts the whole salvation process. Yeah, our faith is futile without the resurrection, but the birth is where it begins. And Christmas is where we can recognize that and see just how wonderful the grace of God is and how wonderful our lives can be as a result of His birth. God humbled Himself to become a man and grant us salvation through faith by way of His indescribable gift. Mary was first to witness this gift firsthand. She was called to take a significant role in the plan of salvation. One of my favorite verses around Christmas time is 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And I think even though we get all these gifts, and sometimes we don't know what to say to people, we don't know how to thank them, or sometimes the really little ones, like my little nephew, has to be told by mom and reminded to go thank people, and how incredibly adorable that is, that they have to kind of walk around and make sure they thank everybody, is I don't know that sometimes thank you for the gift that God has given us is enough. I don't know that the way we can say thank you to God is enough. Sometimes it's all we can do. And since nothing we do works-wise is going to give us our salvation, we're just given it freely, unconditionally. We just have salvation. So is thank you enough? I never feel like it is. I never feel like me saying to God, thank you, could ever be enough. So I was thinking, I thought, well, what's one way it could be enough? So that's why I started reading back through this passage a couple more times. And I realized that Mary really doesn't say thank you. She thanks God by complete and total, absolute, unwavering obedience to what God has called her to do. She could die. They had to flee, and they went to take the census, and then they had to flee Herod later on, and all these crazy things were going on. It was a horrible political time during that time when Jesus was born. But despite all of that, despite the fact that her life could be on the line, it was total obedience. I think that is how we should thank Him. Is when God calls us, that we thank Him, we show our love for Him by total and complete, absolute, unwavering obedience to what He's asked us to do, regardless of what it might be, regardless of how we feel. So for some of you guys that are in college, there's all kinds of crazy things that go on in college and all kinds of great ways to get involved with ministry. There's all kinds of ways to get into sin as well. Are you going to be obedient and do what He's called you to do and be the one that stands out, be the one that's different? For those of you that are in high school and middle school, it's so easy to be a little bit different and get made fun of. I see, even in a Christian school, I see it every single day. People get made fun of. But is it easier to join along, or is it easier to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be different. I'm going to obey. Because I've been given a gift, and I want to say thank you. I want to be thankful to my God for a gift that I cannot describe, that I cannot fathom, and I will never understand the implications of it until one day I go home and I get to see that. But until then, the only way I know how is to be completely and absolutely obedient. I want to read one final passage that kind of, I think, really kind of sums this up a little bit and gives a good picture of how we might be thankful. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19. How can I repay the Lord for all His acts of kindness to me? I will celebrate my deliverance, the lives of His faithful followers. Yes, Lord, I am indeed Your servant. I am Your lowest slave. You've saved me from death. I will present a thank offering to You and call in the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord before all His people in the courts of the Lord's temple in Your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Our only response to God's grace is to repent of our constant sins and continue to strive to be obedient. So my challenge to all of you guys for Christmas is to use the time that we say, wow, it's Christmas, and yeah, I got all these great gifts, and yeah, I got all these great things, but to sit back and reflect. And just like Pastor Brady was saying, just stop and relax and kick back and remember that a little baby, helpless God, in the arms of a teenager, a couple of no-name teens from a no-name town that pretty much nobody even knows about yet and nobody cares, that God was born to save all of us and give us the greatest possible gift that we could ever possibly get. And that by saying thank you, we could simply be obedient So use this Christmas to reset yourself and to say, this is the year I start doing this. And now I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this better than I've ever done it before. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you frequently for your grace and your blessings and the wonderful life that you've given each and every one of us despite some hardships, despite the busy lives and the things that we have to accomplish. We thank you for everything that we have. But yet sometimes, Father, thank you just isn't good enough. And that the only way that really to respond to you is to just do what you ask and to be who you want us to be and to do the things that you want us to do. And Father, I pray for each and every person here that they may find that one or two things, that they can be 100% obedient to you in an offering of thanks to you that you gave your Son to give us salvation, eternal life, so we may spend forever with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' most powerful and precious name. Amen.